song to say amen to, but a good song for us tonight. Thank you. I do this every time. I neglect to say that I'm glad to have my daughter here, Hannah. Amen. I'm looking around. Who's here that's not normally here? And she grew up here. Hannah, good to have you home tonight. Amen. And better to have the grandson with her. Amen. Brother Martin, come on and preach tonight.
Amen. All right. Well, good evening. Good evening. Are you out there? Amen. It's good to be here tonight, and I'm honored to have the privilege to be here to speak, and I appreciate your church and your preacher, and again, just appreciate the opportunity to be here. The book table, just to say a few things about it, I wrote a book on the fear of the Lord, and it's back there. It's called That Men Should Fear Before Him. That's $7. It just kind of takes you through, and I guess if... One of the purposes behind it is just to cause us to wake up to what fearing God is really all about. I don't know if we really understand the depth of fearing the Lord. And this just kind of touches on that, but it's something that will challenge you, I promise you. Different chapters in there dealing with the importance of training our children in the fear of the Lord, and chapters in there on the benefits of fearing the Lord, on the consequences for not fearing the Lord. There's a chapter in there just about the whole concept, the biblical concept of fearing God. There's a twofold concept there in fearing the Lord. One means a reverential trust, but the second part is a hatred of evil. That's the one we struggle with as Christians. Amen. To hate the things that we should be hating. But anyways, that's back there. There's a book Brother Ted Houston just wrote on Christian attire. Does it really matter what you wear? Absolutely. The Bible tells you, and that's what it's all about. If you want to be challenged in that area, that's back there. Then there's some books back there called the Walk in Truth series that Brother Scott Hanks has written, and they're just excellent family devotional books. What they are is like this one's on the tabernacle. It's got 31 devotions on the tabernacle. Different parts of the tabernacle, different things associated with the tabernacle. And what they are is just one page a day. It gives you the thought, gives you some passages of Scripture, gives you some questions to answer. And each one of those books back there contains 31 lessons in whatever the heading is. This one's the tabernacle. This one's the body. Different parts of the body that are mentioned in Scripture in different areas. People say, well, boy, it's tough to get family altar and family devotion and figure out what to do. And sometimes it is, but this really brings it down. Here's one on sports. He's got actually 31 lessons on sports, things that are drew from the Scriptures. And so there are some things there that I think would help you. And I try to carry things that will be a blessing and encouragement to you. And I hope you'll stop by the table and just take a peek at those things. And turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll get there in just a second. And I'll just... couple things here I want to read to you I think you'll get a kick out of. You may have heard these before. Is this thing on here? Yeah, this is on. Okay. You may have heard these before, but laugh anyway. Amen. And this one here says, retired. Working people frequently ask retired people what they do to make their days interesting. Well, for example, the other day I went downtown into a shop and I was only there about 5 minutes, and when I came out, there was a policeman writing a parking ticket. I said, come on, man, how about giving a retired person a break? He ignored me and continued writing the ticket. I called him a Nazi. He glared at me and wrote another ticket for having worn tires. So I called him a donut-eating Gestapo. He finished the second ticket, put it on the windshield with the first ticket, and then he wrote a third ticket. This went on for about 20 minutes. The more I abused him, the more tickets he wrote. Personally, I didn't care. I came downtown on the bus. You got to hear the second part. And the car that he was putting the tickets on had a bumper sticker that said Hillary in 08. I try to have a little fun each day now that I'm retired. It's important for my health. Amen. Amen. Here's another one I thought you might get a kick out of. These things are great truths. It says great truths, first of all, that children have learned. Number one, no matter how hard you try, you can't baptize cats. I beg to differ. We saw a guy do it up at camp this year, but it's a scary thing. Secondly, When your mom is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. Amen. That's not a good thing. Number three, if your sister hits you, don't hit her back because they always catch the second person. That's the truth. Number four, this one's cute. Never ask your three-year-old brother to hold a tomato. Just imagine. And then another one that little children have learned, great truths they've learned, you can't trust dogs to watch your food. Doesn't work. This one, I learned this one when I was younger. Don't sneeze when someone's cutting your hair. I don't know if you've ever had that happen, but it's a bad thing. Children learn these things. Here's another one that they've learned. Never hold a dustbuster and a cat at the same time. That could be bad. Another one that they've learned, you can't hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. I tried that one too when I was little, but that doesn't work. And then the last one is the best place to be when you're sad is grandpa's lap. Amen. And then great truths that adults have learned. We can relate to these adults. Number one, raising teenagers is like nailing Jell-O to a tree. Isn't that the truth? Number two, wrinkles don't hurt. Amen. Number three, families are like fudge, mostly sweet with a few nuts. Amen. This is a good truth here. Great truths that adults have learned. Today's mighty oak is just yesterday's nut that held its ground. Amen. That's right. And then number five, laughing is good exercise. It's like jogging on the inside. Amen. And I can relate to this one. Number six, middle age is when you choose your cereal for the fiber, not the toy. Amen. And then this one's the best of all. Great truths about growing old. Growing up is mandatory. Growing old is optional. Then number two, forget the health food. I need all the preservatives I can get. Amen. I can relate to that one. This one's real good. When you fall down, you wonder what else you can do while you're down there. Hey, might as well use the time wisely. Amen. It says great truths about growing old. You're getting old when you get the same sensation from a rocking chair that you once got from a roller coaster. Amen. And then it's frustrating when you know all the answers, but nobody wants to ask you a question. Amen. Amen. And then it says, time may be a great healer, but it's a lousy beautician. That's for sure. And the last one is pretty profound, too. Wisdom comes with age, but sometimes age comes alone. Amen. Man, be careful. All right. Well, gets you laughing a little bit. Maybe I can try to help you here a little bit with the word. I want to speak to you tonight about something that's very, very important in the Christian life. As I travel around the country, I have pastors ask me all the time questions about the temperature of our country and the temperature of our nation and the temperature of our churches and things like that and things that are happening. And some of that maybe relates to what I want to bring forth this evening. But there's three very important words in the Christian life, or I guess I should say in the stages in the life of the Christian. Three very important words. Two of those words are things that happen instantaneously, and another one is something that has happened already if you're saved and born again, but it also continues to happen as we go through this life. The first word that I'm going to give you is the word justification. To be justified. What does it mean to be justified? The word justify means to be right, correct, to render just or innocent, to be righteous. Justification takes place the day you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you trust in Jesus Christ, it's from that point in God's eyes, it was just as if you'd never sinned. You are now born again, a child of God. Thank God for that. Acts chapter 13 and verse 39 says, "And by Him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." No way that would take it, but Jesus' blood shed for us. When we accept what Jesus did, we are justified in the sight of God. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Justified through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. No way to be saved, no way to be justified before God except through the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by His blood. The blood is significant. Amen. No matter what some people say, the blood is significant. The blood of Jesus Christ is what brought justification to you and I. That took place the very moment that you received Christ as your Savior. We who were guilty were rendered innocent or just before our God. Hallelujah. Glory to God for that. Amen. Justification. Very important word in the life of a Christian. Another word that is very important in the life of a Christian and is something that nobody here has experienced yet, but we will experience one day, and that is the word glorification. Amen. What is that? That's the day, that is the time when we leave this body and when the Lord brings us up and our body meets Him in the air and we are glorified with Him. And the Word of God tells us, I'm going to give you some scripture here in just a minute, but that word glorification, that takes place just like justification instantaneously. It's something that's going to happen instantaneously. When we die, when we're raptured up. And hold your finger there, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I love reading this. It stirs my soul when I read this passage of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice what it says in verse number 50, as it says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. That is the time when glorification will be realized in your life and mine. It says, even Jesus, it speaks about Him and John, that He was not yet glorified. He had ascended to the Father to receive that glorification after His death. It's the hope in the life of every believer. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Amen. There'll be a day when we will be glorified. Glorification is a very important word for us. And justification took place the day we got saved. Glorification is something that's going to take place future. Thank God for the past. Thank God for the future. But there's something that's taken place and is still taking place in our lives right now. And that's the other important word, the one that I want to talk about a little bit tonight. We still live in this existence, in this mortal life, and we still battle with things. But there's a very important word for the Christian, and it's the word sanctification. Very, very, very important. The word sanctify means this. You want to write this down. If you got a pen and paper, write this down just so that you remember this, so that you think about this as you go through, even in your devotion time in the morning. Think about this thought as you go through your devotion time. To sanctify means to cleanse, to purify, and to dedicate. To cleanse, to purify, and to dedicate. Some say to be set apart or separate, and which it is also another meaning that you could use for that. This thing about sanctification is that there's two parts to it. There's the first part that happened the day you got saved. That's a positional sanctification that took place when you trusted Jesus Christ. He died to sanctify you. And I'll give you some scripture on that here in just a moment. But there's another part of sanctification that's very, very, very vital for each and every one of us today. And that part is the practical part of sanctification. It's something that we must do day in and day out to know the blessings of God in our life, the way that God wants to bless us. It's something that we have to practice. Look here, if you would, at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to read a few verses here. You'll see what I'm saying. In verse number 9, it says, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That is that positional sanctification that takes place when you trust Jesus Christ. Then it goes on down, verse 14 says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Those who put their faith and trust in him, there's a positional sanctification that happens. But I want you to look down, if you would, in verse number 26. And notice what it says here. It says, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." Verse 29. "Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Done shame to the Holy Spirit of God, which is allowed you to be sanctified. That's the part that takes place in that positional. God imparts the Holy Spirit to you. I want to speak to you for just a few moments tonight, and a few moments that we have here, and I won't keep you long, but I'm just going to give you some quick thoughts tonight about why it is so important to be sanctified. Practically sanctified. Not just the positional that you already have in Jesus Christ, but day by day practicing sanctification. It's very important for the life of every believer. One of the reasons why I believe we struggle so much, we have this philosophy in our mind that we're saved and we're born again, we're children of God, and since we're saved and since we have the Holy Spirit, we don't have to worry about anything. But friend, God gives you the Holy Spirit, but remember, you're commanded to walk in that Spirit, and to do that, you have to practice sanctification. Cleansing, purifying, dedicating yourself day by day. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then I'll give you some quick thoughts real quick. Father, I pray that you would bless these next few moments that we have to spend together, Lord. I know that I can do nothing on my own, Father. And Lord, I just beg you that you would be able to accomplish what you desire to tonight. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to the hearts and lives of your people. Lord, that you'd use the thoughts and the word tonight to be an encouragement and a help to your people. Father, I'll be careful to give you the honor and the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn, if you would, to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. I want to show you just a few things about why it is so important that we live sanctified lives. If some people today will say, you know, well, why is it so important that I do this? Or why is it so important that I do that? Why is it so important that I dress a certain way? Why is it so important that I'm careful about what I watch? And the preacher preaches about that stuff. Why is it so important? I want to show you tonight some reasons why it's so important. Joshua chapter 3, notice if you would, in beginning in verse number 1, it says, "Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over." Now get the picture here, they're just about ready to cross over the Jordan into Canaan land here. And just about to cross over to that land that they once did not go in the way God told them to, but now they're ready to. They're right on that precipice to do that. Notice what it says in verse 2. "And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore." Now notice verse number 5. "And Joshua said unto the people," what's the next word? Sanctify what? Yourselves. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Number one reason why it's so important to be sanctified is so that God can work the work that He wants to in our midst. Man, do you understand what He was saying here? He said, sanctify yourselves because God's going to do a great and mighty thing. Now what happened that next day, if you know the story, is that they stepped out and the priest took the ark and they carried it on their shoulders. And as they stepped out into the water parted just like it did when Moses held his rod over the Red Sea and it parted. But this time, as they stepped out in faith to trust the Lord, the waters parted. Friend, I got a hunch that they may not have seen God do the work that He wanted to do had they not listened to Moses and sanctified themselves the way they were supposed to. It's so important, if we want to see God do the work that He can do, to sanctify ourselves. I mean, don't you want to see this building accomplished? And don't you want to see this area reached in a greater degree? Don't you want to see God work through your life in a greater degree? Don't you want to see this auditorium filled? Don't you want to see... Hey, listen, the only way that God's going to work in our midst is if we sanctify ourselves. Amen. What does that mean? Cleanse ourselves. Purify ourselves. Dedicate ourselves. Day by day. Amen. That's that practical part of our sanctification. Positionally, we're already sanctified. But practically, we've got to live in this mortal existence, and we must practice it if we want to see God work the way He wants to work in our lives. I have no doubt, preacher, that not only in Bourbonnais, but churches all over the country and all over this great land of ours, I have no doubt that we could see a great reviving of God if God's people would simply get back to sanctifying themselves daily. Daily sanctifying. Daily purifying. Daily cleansing. Daily dedicating themselves unto God. But it's hard to do that when we live the way we live in our lives. Amen. There's things that hinder us and that keep us back from doing that. Let me give you another thought here. Turn just over a few pages, Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. I said, first of all, why it's so important to be sanctified is so that God can work in our midst. He wants to work. God wants to work greater than we want to work. God wants to do so much more than what we want to do. But it's so important that if He's going to do that, that we're where we ought to be, sanctified before Him. Joshua chapter 7. Notice this in verse number 12. Now this is, of course, when they lost the battle. They went out against this outnumbered foe in that little old city to fight that battle against them, and they lost the battle. Notice what it says here in verse 12. It says, well, beginning in verse 10, it says, "The Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you." Notice what he says in verse 13. "Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come by man." What's it saying here, Brother Martin? I'm telling you exactly what it says here. It's just the reason why it's so important to be sanctified is because we cannot stand before the enemy without it. We cannot stand before the enemy without it. That's what he said here. That's exactly what he said. He said, tell them, up, sanctify yourselves. Why? There's something accursed in your life. And as long as that accursed thing is there, God ain't going to be able to bless. Can I say to you, in our own personal lives, it's that important for each and every one of us to be sanctified before God. Why? Because if we're not sanctified before God, we can't stand before the enemy. You may think that you got that battle won already, but friend, I want to tell you what, there's a foe out there that's a lot more powerful than what you may think. And you may think that you can dabble in some things in your life, and you may think that you can be pure in one area, but this area over here, you can live however you want to live. And friend, when you do that, you're not going to be able to stand before the enemy. We wonder why we struggle so much in our families today. We wonder why we battle so much in our families today. And we let the accursed thing in our homes. Amen. So many times we let things in our homes that ought not be in our homes. And we do things that we know in our hearts are things that would not be pleasing unto our God. And you understand, when we do that, we choose not to sanctify ourselves. And we choose the accursed over our God. It's so important that we sanctify ourselves. Why? So that, first of all, so that God can work the way He wants to work in our lives. Secondly, so we can stand before the enemy. Amen. Day by day, we fight, we struggle, we battle, we go through these struggles in our life, and we seem to lose the ground and lose ground and lose ground and lose ground. And you say, why is that, Brother Martin? It may be just because we're not sanctifying ourselves day by day. We ought to start every morning, and we ought to, throughout the day, beg our God to keep us pure, to keep us dedicated, to keep us clean for Him. Amen. It ought to be the prayer of our lips as we go throughout the day. Let me give you a third one here. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Reasons why it is so important that we be sanctified. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Notice if you would in verse number 12. This kind of goes along with the first one, but you'll understand here in just a second. Verse 12, it says, "And said unto them, Ye are the chief of the fathers, the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for we sought Him not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel, and the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded, according to the word of the Lord." Third reason why it's so important to be sanctified, because we cannot do the work of the Lord without it. We cannot properly accomplish what God wants us to accomplish without being sanctified. That's what He was telling them here. According to what they were supposed to do, He said, you must sanctify yourselves to be able to bring up the ark, and to bring the ark to be able to do the work that God's given you to do. Friend, if you're going to do the work in your life that God has specifically for you, you're going to have to sanctify yourself. He didn't use them if they wouldn't sanctify themselves. Amen. He's not going to use us if we're not going to sanctify ourselves. You say, well, Lord does some things in my life. How much more could God do in our life if we're more conscious about this thing about being sanctified day by day unto the Lord? God wants to use us, and each and every one of us that are in this room here tonight, and just stop to think for a moment. As a whole, as a church body, this local church in God's eyes, this is one body. Everybody here is so important in God's eyes. Each and every one of you, from the least to the greatest, that's a church member here. You understand that when a family or when a person or an individual decides that they're not going to do that, it hinders the rest of the body. Amen. You may sit here and say, well, you know, I'm just nobody. I just sit back here in the corner. I sit over here and I'm just... No, you're important in God's eyes. Because God has a purpose for your life. Just like He does for Brother Angel's life. Just like He does for Brother Hansen's life. Just like He does for each and every one of the men that are on staff here. He's got a purpose for your life that's just as important as what His purpose for their life is. Amen. And if we would learn to understand and comprehend that and sanctify ourselves, God would be able to work a greater work through our lives. Use us the way He wants to. It's so important that we cleanse ourselves daily. That we purify ourselves daily. That we dedicate ourselves daily unto the Lord. You say, well, how can I do that? Let me just stop to say, it's not you that does it, it's the Holy Spirit. As you walk in the Spirit, the way that God says we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one who gives you the power to live that way. You're not going to do it yourself. It's the Holy Spirit within you that allows you to be able to do that. Amen. So, first of all, I said why it's so important, so that God can work in our midst. Secondly, so that we can, because we can't stand before the enemy without being sanctified. Thirdly, because we cannot do the work of the Lord or the ministry without it. Turn back to Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13, if you would. And this right here alone ought to be a reason enough for each and every one of us to try to live as pure as we can, as holy as we can, before our God. In Hebrews chapter 13, notice in verse number 12 what it says. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Fourthly, why it's so important to be sanctified? Because Jesus shed his precious blood so that we could be. He shed his blood so that you and I could live a sanctified life. You see, it's not a matter of, you may sit here tonight and say, well, you know, maybe it's easier for somebody else than it is for me. No, as long as if you're a child of God and you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, you have the capability to live a sanctified life for the Lord. Amen. Now, there's no total sanctification in this life. You ain't never going to reach that. But trying to purify ourselves day by day, be clean, be dedicated unto God, it's something each and every one of us need to be doing. And for no other reason than our precious Savior shed His blood so that we could be. He shed His blood so that we could have the victory in this life. And so that we could live pure and so that we could live. But yet we take it so for granted. Take for granted the blood of Jesus. What did it say back there? Turn back to Hebrews chapter 10 again. That passage we read there in verse number 26. Look at verse number 29. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. See that capital S? Talking about the Holy Spirit? In other words, despite you've done shame to the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? When you take for granted what Jesus did for you in shedding His blood so that you could be sanctified, of how much sore punishment are we worthy of? When we won't live that sanctified life. When we say, no, I'd rather do this. I'd rather live this way. I'd rather watch this. I'd rather go this place. I'd rather do this thing. I'd rather wear this. I'd rather, you name it. When we choose to opt out of being sanctified, pure, dedicated, holy unto God, we're trodden underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. So important that we live practically sanctified day by day. Let me give you one more. Actually, I've got two more. Let me give you, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. This is so important too. So important. So important. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and look at verse number 13 says, and who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Notice what it says, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Fifth reason why it's so important to be sanctified, so that we can be the soul winner that we ought to be. Amen. If we're not going to sanctify God in the heart, I'm going to tell you what, you're not going to be the soul winner that you ought to be. You're not going to be ready to give an answer when somebody has a need, when God has somebody put there for you. One of the reasons why we struggle so much in our soul winning is because we're struggling so much with living the sanctified life the way that God wants us to live. If we would get back to walking in that Spirit, if we'd get back to walking clean before God and pure before God and talking with Him daily and walking with Him daily, it'd be just a natural thing that would happen in our life is that God would bring people, we'd witness more, we'd speak more about Him. But if you're not going to sanctify God, maybe that's one of the reasons why you're really struggling with soul winning. Because you don't want to sanctify. You don't want to cleanse. You don't want to dedicate. You don't want to make sure that you're walking day by day the way that you should be. So important if we're going to be what we ought to be for God. Let me give you one more. Turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And this is maybe the most important thing because this is what Jesus did and this was the example that He set for us. John chapter 17 and verse... Pick it up in verse number 13. And of course, this is when He was praying to the Father and praying for us and praying for the disciples. And verse number 13, it says, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them my word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, Jesus is praying to God, saying, sanctify these disciples through your word. Your word is truth. It says in verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And notice verse 19, and for whose sake? Their sake I what? Sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Isn't that a very interesting verse? Jesus said, for their sake, Father, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. The sixth reason why I believe it's so important to be sanctified is for others' sake. That's what Jesus said. Can I share something with you people? One of the reasons why we're supposed to be set apart and sanctified is so that it will help other people. It's not about what it does for us. We are so concerned in this life about what this life is for us when it really has nothing to do with us. Our life has everything to do with our Father. It has everything to do with the mission that He has for each and every one of us. I just share a little story with you here. We were traveling the other day, well, a couple months ago. And during the summertime, I get to travel with the family. And I love being able to have my family with me and travel. And we were at a church, and there was a family in a church that we've known for a long time. And that family was struggling a little bit in something. And the preacher had told me something about it. And that family had asked if we would have a meal with them afterwards. And the preacher said, man, that'd be a great thing to be able to do that. And I said to my family that we were going to go out to have a meal with this family after the services. And my youngest daughter said, oh, Dad. And I said, what are you saying? She said, Dad, they don't have anybody my age, and they don't have anybody my... And that's just a child speaking. But I thought about that, and I said, honey, I explained to her, I said, this family is going through a trial and a struggle. The preacher's told me. It'd be a good thing for us. You see, we can be used to help them by just taking and spending time. I said, honey, life is not about us. It's not about what is going to bring pleasure in this thing for me. It's about what we can do to honor our God and to help somebody else. That's what it says here about Jesus. Jesus said, for their sakes, I sanctify myself. That's one very important reason for each and every one of us to sanctify ourselves. Not just because of who we are, but for other people's sake. To help other people. To help other Christians to be able to grow. It's not about us. It's not about what we can do. It's about what God can do if we would just get to where we need to be. So important. This thing about sanctification. Practical sanctification. The day in, day out. That which we are supposed to do as far as living pure and living clean and living dedicated unto God. You say, how in the world can I accomplish that? How can I win that battle in my life? I struggle so much. And there's a lot of things that we could do right away that could handle a lot of it. Amen. We could just determine that we're not going to watch certain things on television. That would help a whole lot right there. Amen. We could just determine that we are not going to listen to the wrong kind of music. I mean, that could help right there. Those things can help right away. Let me just give you three quick verses here, thoughts, and I'm going to be done. Look at, first of all, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You probably know these, and we'll be done in about 2 or 3 minutes here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Notice what it says. And you know this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How can I live this life sanctified the way that I'm supposed to? Bring your thoughts, your mind into captivity to Jesus Christ. Don't allow yourself to think about things. You don't think that that other people in this room have the same battles that you have? You don't think that I have the same battles that you have? What's the answer? First of all, we got to bring our mind, our thoughts into captivity to Jesus Christ. Secondly, look over if you would real quick at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. That's the first part of it, bringing our mind. The second one in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Secondly, we must bring our flesh and our body into subjection to Jesus Christ. You see, that's the big one in most of our lives. The flesh desires to do the things that are contrary to the Spirit. If we're going to win this battle and be sanctified the way that we're supposed to, we're going to have to keep our flesh and our body in subjection to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Only way that we're going to win that battle. So we have to bring our thoughts, our mind into captivity the way the Scripture says. We have to bring our flesh, our body into subjection the way the Scripture says. And then turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 real quick. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I could give you a bunch of verses on this one, and I'll just give you a couple and we'll be done. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse number 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. This may be the hardest one of all. It's bringing our heart and our soul into submission to all authority that God's placed over us. It's a hard thing to do, to bring your heart into submission. But that's what God says. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. But what about, you know, that's a stupid law. Or that's a, you know, we'll say stuff like that. But the truth of the matter is, God says that He put it there for us. He put it there for us to use us to be an example. Amen. We're going to need to be careful that our heart and our soul in submission. Chapter 5 and verse 5. And notice this verse, very familiar verse. 1 Peter 5, 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You see, this is the thing. It's got to start while we're young. It's got to. Why are we having this battle today when it seems like so much of a battle with people submitting to authority? It's because we're not practicing it and teaching it while they're young and enforcing it while people are young. If we don't start it while you're young, it ain't gonna happen as you get older. There's a stronger battle that we're going to go through because this flesh is so powerful. This flesh is so strong, and it becomes harder and harder once you set that pattern in your life. That's why it's so important to submit to the older, submit to those that God places over you. James chapter 4 and verse 7, it mentions that humility also. It says to be clothed with humility. Well, it'd be a good thing if we would just pray every morning, "Dear God, help me to walk out this door with the cloak of humility on. Keep me pure for you. Keep me dedicated unto you. Keep me holy unto you. Help me to be humble so that you can use me the way you want to." Be a good way to start the day. We don't walk out the door without clothes on. Amen. That's a lot of the world does today, but we don't. Amen, I hope. Well, God says be clothed with humility. Why don't you put the cloak of humility on when we walk out the door every day? And we could go through many other passages of Scripture, but can I say tonight that our level of sanctification will be dependent upon our level of submission at all levels, beginning at the base level all the way up. How much are we going to be submitted unto the authority of man that God places there? How much are we going to be submitted unto those in the church? How much are we going to be submitted to those that God places in our life? Don't take for granted this life and the blood of Jesus Christ that He shed so that we could be sanctified. Why is it that we're struggling in our churches today? Why is it that we're battling in our churches today? I believe it's just because of this right here. Because we're not practicing sanctification. We're not practicing that practical part of day by day trying to live pure, trying to live dedicated, trying to live clean before our God. If we did that, God would be able to work a greater work. Amen. You know what? We'd be able to stand before our enemies. Amen. We'd be able to stand and not worry about whether or not we're going to win the battle if we would live sanctified before the Lord, if we'd practice it. I mean, we could see the Lord do so many things in our life. We could see Him use us in the ministry the way He wants to use us. We could see Him use us to lead other people to Him. Amen. That's what He wants to do with our lives. But we must practice being sanctified. So important. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. How many, just by uplifted hand, would say, Brother Martin, I needed that tonight. Boy, there's some areas in my life I know that I struggle and battle with. I need to live more pure for my God. There's areas that God just convicted me about while you were speaking, and that the Holy Spirit just touched on. Brother Martin, would you pray with me tonight? You slip your hand up. That's me, Brother Martin. Many, many hands. Can I say to you, you cannot live sanctified if you've never been saved. You must trust Jesus first. That's the positional part of sanctification. There would be one tonight maybe that would say, Brother Martin, I'm not sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven. I don't know for sure. I don't know anything about what you're talking about, this being saved. But Brother Martin, I do want to know for sure. When I die, I'll go to heaven. Here's my hand. Would you pray for me? You'd slip your hand up. That's me, Brother Martin. I'm not sure about that, but I'd sure like to know that. Anybody at all? Let's stand our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. Many people raised a hand. Why don't you take time to bow a knee? Ask the Lord to help you with this thing about living sanctified. Father, I pray that you would bless the altar time, Lord. I pray that you'd be able to do the work that you want to do. God, I pray that you'd forgive me for my failure. Lord, each and every one of us, God, help us to practice this thing about sanctification. Thank you that you gave us your precious Holy Spirit the day we got saved. Lord, through that, we're able to win the victory in this. Lord, would you help us to? Each and every one that raised a hand, whatever need it is in their life, God strengthen them. God be able to work in them. God be able to work through this church the way you want to. Lord, we'll give you the glory for what you accomplish in Jesus' name. Thank you.